Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Most people would agree that our prisons are in need of reform, and the only debate is how to go about doing it. And it's an area, of course, where Christians, are, I think, are uniquely qualified to help prison ministry, and it's been a major part of Christian witness for centuries. From Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 25, Jesus shows a special concern for those who are prisoners. And the Calvin Prison Institute, an extension of Calvin College, has a new program that allows prisoners in Michigan to take collegiate correspondent courses. And they're going to be sponsoring a conference called Hope for Restoration, Radical Hospitality and Prison Reform. And joining me right now to talk about the conference and how Christians are helping prisoners rehabilitate their lives is Dr. Jared Ortiz, Associate Professor of Religion at Hope College in here in the state of Michigan. He's the founder and executive director of the St. Benedict Institute, and he specializes in early Christian theology and the teachings of St. Augustine. Jared, good to have you here. Thanks.
Good to be here, Al.
This conference is coming up March 4th, is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Now, talk to me. It's called Hope for Restoration, Radical Hospitality and Prison Reform. What are the origins of it? Where did the idea come from?
Well, the origins of it are actually my own sins.
Okay.
That's actually true. A few years ago, the Diocese of Grand Rapids has this magazine, Faith Magazine, and they wanted to do an article on confession. And so they called our priest and said, "Do you have any sinners who could talk about confession?" And somehow my name rose to the top.
Okay.
I was interviewed by Faith Magazine about my experience of confession, and there was a feature on me in that magazine. But that magazine found its way into R.A. Hanlon Prison in Ionia, Michigan, into the hands of a Catholic inmate named Eric Boldejar. And he was really moved by the interview and wrote me a letter at Hope College, snail mail letter, which is always exciting to get, and said, I really liked your interview. Would you come and talk to our group? We have a reading group. So this is different than the Calvin program. They said, we have a reading group on restorative justice. Would you come talk to our group just about, you know, confession and conversion? And I said, sure. So I went out there, you know, after getting all the clearances, I went out there and told my conversion story to a bunch of inmates. And it was a remarkable experience. It was just a beautiful exchange. They appreciated it, and I was just very moved just by their openness, their honesty. They just blessed me, you know, with their presence.
Yeah.
And then Eric and I just kept up a correspondence. We just kept writing letters back and forth. He was thinking of becoming a Benedictine Oblate. I run the St. Benedict Institute, so we were talking about that. Mm-hmm. I sent him the rule of Benedict, and we just kept going back and forth. And over the course of 6 months or so to a year, he said, "Hey, I really want you to come out again, and can you bring some students?" And I was eager to do that on the one hand, and on the other, the logistics of it were a bit overwhelming because mm-hmm. the prison's very far away.
Yeah.
And I was just sort of hemming and hawing about it, and he said, "Well, what if we came to you?" I said, "Well, what does that mean?" Intriguing. Tell me more. And he said, "Well, would you be willing to host a conference on restorative justice?" And I, without much hesitation, just said, "Yeah, I would." On two conditions. I gave him two conditions. I said, one, that he gives the opening talk, and two, that the inmates organize the conference.
Yeah. So tell me, so the conference is going to be coming up March 4th. What's the day going to be like? I mean, what kind of presentations are going to be made?
So Eric and the fellas there have organized it into two parts. There's two sessions in the morning and then a lunch break and two sessions in the afternoon. Part one is called Character and Ethical Formation and Training. That's the general category.
Okay.
Bishop Arkoviak is going to open us with prayer. And then we're going to pre-record Eric's talk because he can't be released from prison to come. But we're going to pre-record his talk. He's going to give us kind of an overview of the conference and restorative justice. And then Kristen Johnson, who's a professor at Western Seminary, has a wonderful new book called The Justice Calling, is going to give the opening keynote. And then that's going to be followed by a panel discussion with our very own Tricia Worrell, who does prison ministry at the Grand Rapids Diocese, the warden from the prison that Eric is at, and then a former inmate, and they're going to talk about education programs.
What are the greatest concerns of inmates, especially Christian inmates, as they begin to think about how they can be light in the prison system? What tends to come up? What are the primary concerns?
I think it varies probably from prison to prison, and I think some prisons are better than others. Hanlon Prison is, you know, becoming increasingly open to these kind of restorative practices. They actually have a vocations workshop where the name is slipping my mind, but where inmates can pick up actually vocational skills for, okay, you know, auto mechanic and wood shop and things like that, mm-hmm, for going out and actually having some marketable skills to be reintegrated back into society. And then, of course, this Kelvin Prison programs, you know, they get a BA, a bachelor's degree. So that's obviously not the case everywhere. I think most prisons actually don't have that kind of access. And so recidivism is a huge, is obviously a huge problem.
Yeah.
I know for a lot of Catholic inmates, you know, access to the sacraments is a real problem. You know, we have not enough priests, not only for parishes, but going into prisons.
And yeah.
So, I mean, there's often, you know, communion services and things like that with volunteers. But, you know, access to confession and the Eucharist is, I know, a real big issue for Catholic populations.
So restorative justice is the process by which they are restored to shalom within the community?
That's generally the idea, yeah. So, I mean, restorative justice comes from, it's basically the idea that, you know, when someone commits a crime, it's certainly breaking the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it does more than that, right? It harms people,
yeah.
It harms relationships, it harms the community, it harms the victim, obviously, or the victims, but it also harms the offender, you know, the one who's committing the crime,
yeah.
It harms their own soul. And so this is a way of not just punishing the crime, which is part of it, you know, but finding ways of making amends, of restoring what's been broken, the damage that's been caused to all of those peoples, to that relationship, to those relationships, and to the community. And so the primary way that they try to go about doing this is, you know, if the parties are willing, you know, is to have, you know, victims and offenders talk,
yeah.
You know, and to reconcile,
yeah.
You know, face to face. And of course, that takes a lot on both sides,
yeah.
You know, and offenders often cannot initiate that interaction, even if they want to. But there's more and more opportunities, you know, and encouragement for this kind of thing. Because victims often live not just, you know, with the pain, but, you know, with the pain of whatever happened, you know, but often deep resentment and
yep.
unforgiveness
yeah.
and,
yeah.
you know, the things which can really poison your own life, you know, even after maybe the immediate damage is done,
yeah.
you know, but it lasts for years and can show up in all sorts of psychological problems.
Yeah, yeah.
So coming to a place of forgiveness and reconciliation is good for the victim. As well as the offender to receive the forgiveness. But it's also, you know, part of the restorative justice process is to bring the offender to, you know, a place of taking real responsibility, you know, for his or her crime,
yeah.
For taking ownership of it, and then the willingness, you know, to do something, you know, to restore what's
yeah.
been broken.
Now, we're running out of time, so just tell me again, how can people learn more about this Hope for Restoration conference?
Easiest way to do it is go to saintbenedictinstitute.org, and you can find the link with all the information. And conference is free. We're asking people to register, but you can find out all the information there.
Okay. saintbenedictinstitute.org. Jared, thank you. We'll talk again.
Great. Thanks so much, Al.
Dr. Jared Ortiz.